Whoa, we are back for the 18th episode of Home at Advantage. I am Sam Herring, joined today by Jude Swisher for a special episode of HMA. This time we're just going to do a short recap of the World Championships that's going on right now in Kazakhstan. And this is the first video episode we've done yet, and we're excited to get going with this.
Sam, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm ready to recap Worlds and hopefully get some sadness out today.
Yeah, we need to talk about our feelings, because truthfully, I'm very hurt. I think our Greco, if we want to roll right into it, I think Greco really hurt me deep down inside. Our women, for the most part, performed really well, you know, we got three world championships in a fifth placer, but men's freestyle so far is not looking super well. I want to remind our listeners to
two wrestlers wrestling for medals.
Oh, well, okay.
It's not bad.
It could be better.
It's going pretty bad.
It's
yeah.
All right. I want to remind our listeners to follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter. Our Instagram is at @HMA_podcast. Our Twitter is at @HMA_podcast. You can send us emails.
Wait. Pretty sure it's HMA Wrestling right now.
I didn't know that. So our Twitter is HMA Wrestling, and so is everything's at HMA Wrestling. We're going to continue to keep up a stream of content flowing on it, and showing off our photos, and Tony Rotunda's photos. Hey, Sam, did you know who sponsors Home at Advantage?
You know, I might have, but I think I forgot. Who is it?
I'll remind you. It's Tony Rotunda with WrestlersAndWarriors.com. Sam, did you know he takes the best photos in wrestling today? Just the absolute best.
Oh, I did know that.
Did you know that he's in Kazakhstan right now? He's taking photos of all the Team USA wrestlers wrestling right now, and he's selling them on WrestlersAndWarriors.com. Did you know that?
I'm pretty sure I did.
Oh, well, he knew it, guys. But now you know it, too. Go support our friend. All right, they had to do the plugs. Sam, I hit the mic. Sam, let's hop right into to what's going on. So, recap the Greco for us.
Well, going into the World Championships for Greco, we knew we had the capability to have a pretty good year. Kuhn was looking really good, returning world silver medalist. We had Pat Smith, who beat junior world champion Kamal Bey, and we really thought he could do well. Max Nowry had some great talent, some success at Pan Ams. So we knew we had talent, and we knew we had a chance for some medalists, but it didn't go our way for Greco, and we really struggled. We walked out of there with no medals, and not too much momentum for women's.
Yeah, and we didn't qualify any of the Olympic spots, and it was.
Pretty sure Max Nowry qualified.
Yeah, so we qualified Nowry, but still, like, the Greco team going into it, there was a, I felt like there was, you know, obviously they talked about on FRL how there isn't enough, like, awareness of Greco, and now everyone's like, oh, why aren't we doing good? Well, maybe truthfully, just, we had higher expectations for our Greco team, but, you know, I have faith that our Team USA coaches will know the best, like, steps to go from here, and hopefully we can bounce back next year.
Definitely.
You know, it was asked to us on Instagram. It was asked to us, I believe, by Dyson Gould, and he said, like, oh, what styles should we train? And I said that you know, if we need to get, if we want to get Greco medals, that we need to have more focus from the youth age, like from youth growing up into Greco. Because that's what all the foreign guys do, is that, you know, they are training Greco their entire life up until the World Championships. And if we're not doing that, then it's going to be really tough to compete against guys who've been doing it their whole lives.
Well, I talked about this on HMA interview number 9 with Mike Mao, and I just feel like we're never going to be a top power in Greco because the domestic style is folk style. That's mm-hmm. a leg-grabbing style. We grind, and it's not much of throwing and Greco-type wrestling. Now, if we wrestle freestyle as our main sport, we'd definitely be better at Greco. And if Greco is our main sport, we'd obviously be better at Greco. Yeah. We can definitely improve and give better opportunities to guys with RTC options and coaching. And from a younger age, you have options with coaching in Greco. But I don't think we're ever going to make it to a top power.
Yeah, not unless there's a big change in a big focus shift onto Greco. I don't know if we can do it. And so an interesting take that was brought to me by my boy Danny, and it was about freestyle folk style, and I was of the opinion that like folk style gives our freestyle wrestlers a different edge and a different feel in our against foreign opponents. It helps us with our pace and grinding out really tough matches. And he said, like, I don't know how to put it, but he said, like, if we went full freestyle and full Greco, we would be best in the world. Because we have a huge, like, the amount of wrestlers in our country, there's a huge amount of wrestlers in the country, because there's a huge amount of people in our country. So, you know, we can't expect to train softball and it's not quite the exact same which it's an interesting take. I don't know how I feel about it, but it's definitely something I've been thinking about. You know, that analogy of freestyle and folk style, as similar as they are different. And from youth, we train folk style. That's what we do. So what do you think, Sam?
Right. Well, I definitely agree that training freestyle full time would make us better. Something Mike Mao said was America has the best athletes in the world, mm-hmm. undisputed. And that's just, like you said, we have the most amount of people. We have the best opportunities, the best economy that helps grow young athletes and coaches. And so I feel like we have the best opportunity, but that's not something that as a whole our country dedicates our time and effort into, is freestyle wrestling.
Right.
And that's just going to hurt. Yeah, in that level.
At that level. You know, what America does is that we really appreciate the value of folk style wrestling and the amount of, like, wrestling aside, like character development that comes from folk style wrestling and like coming up as a folk style wrestler, it makes you tough. It makes you a tough human being. And Americans,
definitely,
who, you know, history lesson, we came off and we had to start a country by ourselves. You know, that's tough. American history has always been tough and gritty, and we've always idealized, like, we've emphasized being tough and valued being gritty in our society. So folk style wrestling really reflects that in the American spirit, or whatever you want to call it. But that's just my two cents about the whole situation.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm. You want to move on to women? We can talk about women. Or how about this?
Definitely.
How about this? Let's talk about men's freestyle, and then we can end on a good note and talk about the women.
Okay.
That sounded really bad, but
All right.
So I'm really sad about Zane Rutherford. He lost the
Course you are.
man after all that time of, was just, and it was over in one match. It was very depressing. You know what, something even that makes I know that a lot of fans are sad is that both Musakayev and Bajarang both took bronze, and both of them lost to Yanni. I know a lot of people are thinking, like, man, if Yanni wins, like, we would have a medal because Yanni beat both Musakayev and Bajarang. What do you think about that, Sam? Do you think Yanni would have medaled if he came to Kazakhstan?
Of course. And I thought Zane would medal coming into Kazakhstan, and the fact that Zane dropped a tough one to Odoguru doesn't change my perspective on not Odoguru, Ortega, doesn't change my perspective on Yanni and his skill level and his capabilities. But that doesn't mean that I think our system is flawed or the way that Zane was chosen was messed up in any way. Zane won that fair and square after having some real adversities in the process. So, just feel like Zane earned his way there. And the biggest problem that I see with Zane is his savvy with international wrestling. I feel like he spent so much of this summer training for Yanni and training for the US Open World Team Trials Final X, the Dogu. He never really had time because he was never the set world team member to really focus on how to wrestle international competition well. And we've seen him fail at international competitions for one Worlds in 2017 and then the
Don't do this year.
Yarjin this year, Dan Kolov, he got bronze, lost to Rashidov, who's the world champ right now. And then he lost to Yanni at the Dogu. Couldn't make Pan Ams. He's never won an international tournament.
Yeah. So Sam, do you think the arbitration process and that all hurt Zane going into Worlds? Do you think the extended period of just like not knowing what's happening, do you think that hurt Zane's mentality or his training, or how do you think it affected him?
So, definitely didn't hurt his mentality for Worlds. I think it hurt his preparation for Worlds. And I think it hurt his opportunity for preparation for Worlds with the world team camps and everything. He really couldn't focus on himself. Like, the coaches couldn't totally dedicate themselves to Zane and give him everything they had so that he could go win a world medal.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that the arbitration drawn-out process hurt Zane. I don't think it was mentality at all, and I think it was the right thing to do. I wish it had gotten dealt with sooner, but it was what had to happen.
Yeah, what I mean, truthfully, we want to make it a fair process, and it sucks that it had to go s be so extended and such, a dramatic turn of events. But we want to be fair to Yanni. We want to make sure Yanni has his best shot to make the worlds. And it we gave him plenty of chances, but Zane was able to take it in the end. So it's a disappointing thing to be sure, but we know that the like now we know what to do in this situation. I don't know how Yanni would have performed if he came to Kazakhstan, but I can say that Zane competed to the best of his ability, and he left it out all on the mat, and hopefully this rivalry will continue next year, and hopefully it'll be a good problem to have, that we have two amazing wrestlers fighting for a spot. So, Sam, it says here in the doc that Dayton Fix got ripped off. Do you want to talk about that?
So both our guys for that day, when the draws came out, I was freaked out. I was like, man, this is gonna be a tough term if we all get draws like that. If we're, 'cause Zane Rutherford had Ortega round one, and then who did he have? The Iranian round two. I'm assuming he wins, and then he would have had Rashida and Odoguru, and then Bajrang. That's pretty intense right there. And then Dayton had a world champ round two,
He didn't have
and
Ortega
I
round
just
one.
I was
He
scared.
Zane had a Toby Air round one. Cuban.
Holy moly, who am I? Who is Ortega?
Isn't Ortega 57?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting Cuban and at
You get them
Dayton
all mixed
mixed
up
up
in your
because
head. I think, yeah.
the Cubans mix me up.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah,
I
right.
don't know where
Toby.
or now I have to find out where Ortega's from. You keep talking. I'm paying attention, I promise.
I'm pretty sure Ortega is from Cuba at 57 because Dayton had to beat him at Pan Ams, and we all went crazy because he beat Gilman a while back. But yeah. Anyway, so Dayton had Takahashi round two, the guy that beat Gilman in the 2017 World Finals, and then beat him, where was it? The World Cup the next year. Just
Japanese, really, really
this
good.
yeah. He's a beast. He's super slick. His counter offense is unbelievable. And I thought that Dayton could win. Dayton's looking great all summer. He dominated. I'm not gonna say dominated. He won Pan Ams with real tough weight Ortega in the bracket. And he went through the gauntlet this summer with U.S. Open World Team Trials and Final X with he didn't go to the World Team Trials, but he really battled with Thomas Gilman and having to beat him three times over the summer. I just feel like he proved himself this summer, and I felt like he could beat Takahashi, and he really could. He scored the only takedown in the match, and this was how Takahashi scored his points. He got passivity, shot clock point. So he got two of those, and he got a step out, and then a lost challenge for that step out that really didn't happen. You can go back and watch the video as many times as you want. I'm gonna have to see a screenshot where Dayton's whole foot is outside of that orange line, orange circle, and then I might believe it. But I've seen too many videos and screenshots, and I watched the match, and it's just. He did not step out of bounds, and I don't know how, after reviewing it and going back and looking at the tape, that they couldn't overturn that call.
A shame. Hate to see it happen. Now what? Is there any steps that we can? Is there anything that can be done for Dayton Fix getting gypped? We just gotta suck it up and, it's tough, but that's the way it is.
When in Tokyo, that's what we have to do.
Yeah, I say we take the whole thing next
Over
year.
Takahashi. That would be cool because Takahashi's from Japan.
I think it'd probably be better to go beat Takahashi round one and then lose the next match so he gets eliminated.
No.
Just lose the next match so he gets eliminated. And then let's
Which, by the
recap.
way, that might have happened on purpose for
So let's
Dayton.
see. What else happened? James Green got a tech and then lost a real heartbreaker. Nick Wisdowski, did he go 1-1 or 0-1?
0-1, I believe.
0-1. Really disappointing, especially because he had a pretty good, I think I remember he had a pretty good seeding in the bracket. He would have had to wrestle, he
Oh, yeah.
was fourth, and he would have had to wrestle Petrietishvili in the semis. He had a pretty good setup.
I liked his. Yeah.
But wasn't able to pull it off. And then Jordan Ernest Burroughs, the man, dropped a super tight one to Sitikov. I'm just thinking, like, this is probably really depressing to watch. This is really sad, this recap video. But he was, you know, he was winning with, like, what, how much time? 30 seconds left. Ended up giving up a step out. Did they challenge the step out? And then it was 4-3, or?
No, they didn't challenge it. It was definitely a step out. It was just bad. It was 1.4 seconds to go.
It was very disappointing. But I mean, things are looking better, because who did he beat he dropped right down for bronze medal match. And who's he gonna wrestle, Sam?
Man, I don't know. I haven't looked at the bracket, but I can pull it up here real quick.
I bet I can pull it up faster.
All right. We'll see.
Yeah. 74. Consolation. Burrows against... Whoa, it hasn't been wrestled to yet.
So who will he have?
It'll either be Hernandez, Raibiki, or Okui. I don't know these names.
Here.
I think it's Japanese, dude. Burrows is dropped down, so.
Man. Where are the other guys in this bracket? There are so many tougher guys in this weight.
It's a massive bracket. There's a lot of people in it.
Yeah, I've never heard of these guys that he's going to be wrestling for bronze.
Yeah, me neither.
In the 20th and the 19th seed, which they don't seed past four, but still.
Yeah.
Where's the Turkish guy? And where is Abdurakhmanov and Gaziev?
It'll be a Mexican, a Polish dude, or the Japanese guy. That's who he's going to wrestle.
That's odd. That's odd.
Sitikov's road was not... There was not a lot of guys on his side.
No.
So he had a pretty easy on his road side, to the...
He had a pretty easy road.
Or in his quarter.
Yeah, in his quarter. But his side was stacked. Basically, I'm saying that Burrows had so many tough guys.
I mean...
To get past.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, but looking up, Jaden Cox is killing it. He hasn't been taken down. Did you see that video that Flow Wrestling posted of, like, or it might have been Track, I don't remember who, but it was the Georgian, I believe, was, like, so close to taking him down. And he, like, broke the matrix to not get taken down, dude. That was...
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be so disheartening. That really breaks a dude. If you, like, wrestle your hardest and you're still unable to get a single 2 points, like, so tough. So tough. But, you know, I feel really good about our shots tomorrow about getting a gold medal.
Definitely.
How long will Jaden Cox's reign last?
We'll see next year how he fits in at 86, which is basically where he's going. Nobody disputes that. We'll see if he can beat DT and then pass that. I'm sure he's got Yazdani and Erden and those kind of guys. I think he beats the world. He just has to get by Derringer and
Zahid and Mark and
Mark and, well, I think Mark's gonna go 74, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And then Derringer, obviously David Taylor. I mean, that's going to be tough.
It's going to be – 86 is going to be really exciting next year. It's going to be, like, as tough as, like, 133 was last year. So, it's a deep weight. And then, so tomorrow we have Tyler Graff and Pat.
I don't know.
Is Graff wrestling tomorrow?
Yeah.
So there's five.
Is left, so there's four.
Four.
Graf, Pat, Dake, Snyder, Downey.
So I'm confident in Dake. I think that Snyder can definitely, he'll make the finals for sure. I'm picking him to win against Zajulaev. I think that Tyler Graf can really blow it open. I think he's going to get a lot of guys. And I really like Patrick Downey's shot. He has a decent, they both have decent draws, and I'm really excited to watch all this wrestling. It's gonna be a fun last day. When are the whatchamacallits? When are the finals gonna be wrestled?
Well, we've got some finals tomorrow for Burroughs and Cox, and then the finals will be Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome.
8 a.m. Eastern, I believe.
8 a.m. Eastern. Man, last time they were wrestled at like 3 p.m. and we got to watch David Taylor win a world gold at M2 during Sunday practice. It was really cool. It was really, really cool.
I remember when Sajulaev beat Snyder. I got so mad. I went for a run for a while, though, to harness my anger.
To cool off, to train harder. Okay. So, tough couple days for Team USA. Oh! Our women.
Women, yeah.
We gotta talk about that.
This is basically just happies and sads, and we'll just kind of stick to the happies for right now. We'll just hustle through this. Jakar Winchester took first champ for USA and really pulled through. She's never really been able to break through that barrier, and this time she was, and she made – it was so cool watching that because it was a call that was being, like, the whole match decided on whether the challenge was successful or not. And then as soon as the ref gave the points, Jakar got up and
started. She's, like, jumping up and down.
Yeah.
So much emotion. She looked really awesome.
The women's wrestling have so much more emotion. I mean, Tamariah was bawling after she won her gold.
Tamariah's, she's awesome. I remember, like, at our interview at Final X, like, she just had so much energy. She was excited. She called you Pastor Sam. You look like a little pastor.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And then Adeline Gray makes history.
Made history. Yeah.
5 world gold medals. And that's more than John Smith and Jordan Burroughs. That's.
Yeah.
She,
yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb here, Sam. She's a really good wrestler. I'll say it here. And then Forrest, she dropped the tough one, and, you know, it really, really sucks, especially because she was talking about how this was the same result she got last year. She ended up dropping the bronze medal and took 5th last year. So, but she's made a lot of growths in 1 year, and the Hawkeye Wrestling Club is really going to help her to keep growing and progressing, and I have a lot of faith that Forrest will come back next year, and she's going to stand on top of that podium. Yeah. I'm calling it right now. She is going to win. She's going to win the whole thing.
Well, she's got Tim Rye to get by in the Olympic. She's going up for the Olympic weights, and she's going to have to get by Tim Rye, so that's going to be tough.
You know, there isn't not losses will affect you more deeply than wins, and especially the same kind of loss 2 years in a row. I think that if there's changes needed to be made in her preparation and in her wrestling and in her mentality and whatever it is, I think Forrest is going to make it, and I think she's going to be optimized 100% for next year.
Yep. Well, I think that about does it for this show. I hope you all enjoy it, and hopefully we'll have more of these rolling, these short video podcasts recapping worlds. Hopefully after it all finishes on Sunday, we might be able to get one out. We'll see.
Yeah.
But until then, guys, be watching the World Championships.
Yo, thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Tony Rotundo. Thank you, Sam. And that was really, really fun. Let's do this again sometime, okay?
All right. See you guys.
Bye.